ألم تر إلى الذين خرجوا من ديارهم وهم ألوف حذر الموت فقال لهم الله موتوا ثم أحياهم إن الله لذو فضل على الناس ولكن أكثر الناس لا يشكرون.
O Messenger, have you thought of those who went forth from their homes for fear of death, even though they were in their thousands? Allah said to them, "Die." Then He restored them to life. Indeed, Allah is bounteous to men. But most people do not give thanks in return. O Messenger, have you thought of those who went forth from their homes for fear of death, even though they were in their thousands? Here begins a fresh discourse in which Muslims are urged to struggle and make financial sacrifices for God's cause. Moreover, they have been warned to avoid those forms of corruption which eventually led the children of Israel into decline and degeneration. In order to appreciate this discourse, it should be borne in mind that it was revealed when the Muslims had been driven out of Mecca and had lived in Medina for a year and a half. Exasperated by the wrongs to which the unbelievers subjected them, the Muslims had again and again asked the Prophet to permit them to fight. But when they were at long last asked to fight, some of them showed a degree of reluctance and disinclination. Their attention is now drawn, therefore, to two incidents in the history of the Israelites from which they may learn their lesson. Allah said to them, "Die." Then He restored them to life. This refers to the exodus of the Israelites. Surah 5 gives some details of this incident. The Israelites had left Egypt in large numbers and were wandering in the desert eager to find a home. But when at God's command Moses ordered them to drive the Canaanites out of Palestine and conquer that land, they showed cowardice and refused to proceed. Eventually God let them wander about for 40 years till one full generation of Israelites had died and been replaced by a new one reared in the tough conditions of desert life. It was only then that God enabled the Israelites to overcome the Canaanites. Their former condition is described as death, whereas the later development is seen as their restoration to life.
وَقَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ
So fight in the way of Allah, and know well that Allah is all-hearing, all-knowing.
مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا فَيُضَاعِفَهُ لَهُ أَضْعَافًا كَثِيرَةً وَاللَّهُ يَقْبِضُ وَيَبْسُطُ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ
Who of you will lend Allah a goodly loan, which He will return after multiplying it for Him manifold? For Allah has the power both to decrease and increase, and to Him you will be returned. Who of you will lend Allah a goodly loan? Goodly loan signifies whatever one gives to another person selflessly and from absolutely pure motives. God describes whatever man spends in this manner as a loan made to none other than Him, and He undertakes to repay that loan and to repay it severalfold. The stipulation, however, is that the loan should be a goodly one, and that is, it should not be tainted with selfish designs, and should be given for the sake of God, to be spent for purposes pleasing to Him.
أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الْمَلَأِ مِنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مُوسَى إِذْ قَالُوا لِنَبِيٍّ لَهُمْ إذ قالوا لنبي لهم ابعث لنا ملكا نقاتل في سبيل الله قال هل عسيتم إن كتب عليكم القتال ألا تقاتلوا قالوا وما لنا ألا نقاتل في سبيل الله وقد أخرجنا من ديارنا وأبنائنا فلما كتب عليهم القتال تولوا إلا قليلا منهم والله عليم بالظالمين
O Messenger, have you thought of what happened with the elders of the children of Israel after Moses? They asked one of their prophets, "Set up for us a king so that we may fight in the way of Allah." He said, "Would you possibly refrain from fighting if fighting is ordained for you?" They said, "And why would we not fight in the way of Allah when we have been torn from our homes and our children?" But when fighting was ordained for them, they turned back, except a few of them. Allah is well aware of the wrongdoers.
Set up for us a king so that we may fight in the way of Allah. This took place about 1,000 years before Christ. At that time, the Israelites were persecuted by the Amalekites who had deprived them of the greater part of Palestine. The prophet Samuel, who was then ruling over the Israelites, was old. The elders of Israel, therefore, felt the need to appoint as their head someone else under whose leadership they could wage wars. By that time, however, the Israelites had become so deeply infected with ignorance, and the customs and practices of non-Muslim nations had made such inroads into their lives, that the distinction between a religious state committed to serving God and secular monarchy was lost on them. They consequently asked God to appoint a king rather than a religious ruler, Khalifa, over them. The information contained in the Bible is as follows. Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "Behold, you are old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint for us a king to govern us like all the nations." But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to govern us," and Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Hearken to the voice of the people in what they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. According to all the deeds which they have done to me, from the day I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are also doing to you." So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking a king for them. He said, "These will be the ways of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them to his chariots, to be his horsemen, and to run before his chariots. And he will appoint for himself commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and some to plow his ground and to reap his harvest, and to make the implements of war and the equipments of his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive orchards and give them to his servants. He will take the tenth of your grain and your vineyards and give it to his officers and to his servants. He will take your men servants and maid servants and the best of your cattle and asses and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your flocks, and you shall be his slaves. And on that day you will cry out because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves. But the Lord will not answer you in that day." But the people refused to listen to the voice of Samuel. And they said, "No, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may govern us and go out before us and fight our battles." And when Samuel had heard all the words of the people, he repeated them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Hearken to their voice and make them a king." Samuel then said to the men of Israel, "Go, every man to his city." And Samuel said to the people, "And when you saw that Nahash, the king of Ammonites, came against you, you said to me, 'No, but a king shall reign over us,' when the Lord your God was your king. And now, behold, the king whom you have chosen, for whom you have asked, behold, the Lord has set a king over you. If you will fear the Lord and serve him and hearken to his voice, and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, and if both you and the king who reigns over you will follow the Lord your God, it will be well. But if you will not hearken to the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you and your king. Now therefore stand still and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call upon the Lord that he may send thunder and rain, and you shall know and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord, in asking for yourselves a king." So Samuel called upon the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day. And all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said to Samuel, "Pray for your servants to the Lord your God, that we may not die, for we have added to all our sins this evil to ask for a king." And Samuel said to the people, "Fear not, You have done all this evil, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord. But serve the Lord with all your heart, and do not turn aside after vain things which cannot profit or save, for they are vain. For the Lord will not cast away his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you a people for himself. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you, and I will instruct you in the good and right way. These statements from Samuel make it clear that the demand to appoint a king was disagreeable to God and to his prophet. It might be asked, however, why the Quran does not contain any denunciation of this demand of the elders of Israel. The reason is that to the purpose for which this incident has been cited, the appropriateness and otherwise of the demand is irrelevant. The purpose here is to show the extent to which cowardice and self-indulgence had become part of Israelite life, and to show how the lack of moral restraint had come to characterize their conduct. It is these which ultimately led to their decline. The aim of the Quranic narrative is to enable Muslims to derive a lesson from this, and to ensure that these weaknesses do not creep into their own lives.
وقال لهم نبيهم إن الله قد بعث لكم طالوت ملكا قالوا أنى يكون له الملك علينا ونحن أحق بالملك منه ولم يؤت سعة من المال قال إن الله اصطفاه عليكم وزاده بسطة في العلم والجسم والله يؤتي ملكه من يشاء والله واسع عليم.
And their prophet said to them, Indeed Allah has sent forth Saul, Talut, as your king. They said, By what right shall he rule over us when we are more worthy than he to dominion, since he is not even very wealthy? He said, Allah has chosen him over you and has endowed him abundantly with both intellectual and physical capacities. Allah indeed has the power to bestow dominion upon whomsoever he wills. Allah is munificent, all-knowing. And their prophet said to them, Indeed, Allah has sent forth Saul, Talut, as your king. In the Bible, he is called Saul. He was a 30-year-old Benjaminite youth. There was not a man among the people of Israel more handsome than he. For his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people. He went out in search of the lost asses of his father. During this search, he passed through the house of Samuel, and God informed Samuel that this was the person who had been chosen to govern the people of Israel. Samuel brought Saul to his house, took a vial of oil, poured it on his head, kissed him, and said, Has not the Lord anointed you to be the prince over his people of Israel? Samuel later called the people of Israel together and proclaimed Saul to be their king. This was the second Israelite to be anointed by God's command to a position of leadership. Earlier, Aaron had been anointed as the chief priest. The third case of anointment was that of David, and the fourth that of Jesus. There was no clear statement in the Quran regarding the designation of Talut, the Saul of the Bible, to prophethood. The mere fact of his being appointed a ruler does not necessarily warrant considering him a prophet as well.
وقال لهم نبيهم إن آية ملكه أن يأتيكم التابوت فيه سكينة من ربكم وبقية مما ترك آل موسى وآل هارون تحمله الملائكة إن في ذلك لآية لكم إن كنتم مؤمنين.
And their prophet said to them, The sign of his dominion is that in his reign the ark, wherein lies inward peace for you, will be brought back to you, and the sacred relics left behind by the house of Moses and the house of Aaron, borne by angels. Truly, in that is a sign for you, if indeed you are men of faith. And the sacred relics left behind by the house of Moses and the house of Aaron, borne by angels. The biblical version of this incident is different from the Quranic one. The former sheds light, however, on certain details of the incident. It shows that during a military engagement, the pagan Philistines had captured the Ark of the Covenant. Terrified of the scourge and pestilence which spread wherever they carried the Ark, these pagans placed it on a cart driven by milk cows and sent it off. Perhaps the Quran alludes to this when it mentions angels, since the cart was driverless and it was the angels who kept it in their custody and brought it to the Israelites. The Quranic statement that in the ark lies inward peace for you can be understood in the light of the biblical statements that the Israelites regarded the ark as highly auspicious and as an emblem of their triumph and victory. When they were deprived of it, they began to feel that they had been deprived of the mercy of God. The return of the ark, therefore, had a highly salutary effect on them, as it strengthened their sagging morale and raised their spirits. The Quranic mention of the sacred relics left behind by the house of Aaron seems to allude to the tablets of law bequeathed to Moses on Mount Sinai. The ark is also said to have contained the original copy of the Torah, which Moses himself had transcribed and which he had himself handed over to the Levites. The ark is also supposed to have contained a golden urn holding the manna, in order that the coming generations might recall God's benevolence to their forefathers during their wandering. The ark also probably contained the rod of Moses, which was one of the great miracles of God.